counsel will conduct your hearing, sir.
Good morning, sir. Just for the record, could you just please state your full name and the ABC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is Tom Antoine Dokes, and my ABC number is 196418.
Okay. Mr. Dokes, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Pregnancy, so I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. Mr. Dokes, if you could do us a favor and just kind of hold the phone down a little bit from your mouth, because it is just real sensitive. We could just hear you breathing as you're breathing, but that's a good thing that we can hear you breathing, though. Okay, so to my far right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Coming down the line is the Honorable Louis Quinones. In the middle here, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. And to my immediate left is the Honorable David Mills. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be conducting your hearing, acting as your panel chair today, sir. Also with us in the room is Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby, you can see him now on your screen. Mr. Westby represents the Department of Correction as well as a parole office, okay?
Okay,
so prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of the board's hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
I do.
Okay. On that form, sir, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'll be representing myself.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, at this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Ms. Dokes, do you plan on speaking? Ms. Roberson, do you plan on speaking?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Roberson? Okay. All right. So I need to swear everybody in at this time that's going to be speaking, okay? So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Todd Dokes? Mr. Dokes?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Westby?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Roberson?
Is Mr. Dokes
there? Mr. Dokes? All right, and Ms. Roberson?
Yes.
Okay. So your hearing today is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So we're going to start out in phase one. So you have five allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read those allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false, okay?
Okay.
All right, so the first allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about December 28, 2017, per the TAS GCMS lab report dated February 14, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
February 14?
It was, you took the test on December 28, 2017, and the test compliance summary is dated February 13, 2018.
The phone is kind of going in and out, so I would like you to repeat that one more time.
No problem at all. I'm going to read the whole thing back to you again, okay?
Okay.
You're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7. As demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or by December 28, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated February 14, 2018.
Sure.
Okay. Sir, the next one states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of marijuana and THC on or by December 29, per the task lab report dated December 30th, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, true.
Okay. So the next one states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or by December 29th, per the task lab report dated December 30th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
Yes, true.
All right. So the next one states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about January 26, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance date summary dated February 14, 2018. So is that true or false?
That's true.
All right. So in the final one states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 12B, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the Maricopa Reentry rules and staff directives on or about February 1st, 2018. So is that true or false?
That's not true.
Okay. All right, sir, since you said that allegation number five is false, we're gonna go to the parole officer, Mr. Westy, and get some additional information on condition number five.
January 1st, 2018, offender signed conditions of supervision stating he would reside at the entry center, MRC 24601, North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85027, and filed the words and staff directives of the MRC to include being in residence every night and before curfew. On January 31st, 2018, the offender was placed into the Maricopa Entry Center under sanction pending ITA program. On February 1st, 2018, the offender refused to attend mandatory programming while in sanction pending the MRC. CO2 is still asked the offender why he was not in class. The offender responded, quote, "I'm not going because I'm tired," end quote. The offender then covered his head with his blanket and asked that the light be shut off because it was too bright. Parole supervisor Rodriguez was notified of the offender's refusal of program. The offender was interviewed by parole supervisor Rodriguez. The offender stated, quote, "The offender stated he didn't go to treatment because he was coming off of methamphetamine."
Okay, Mr. Dokes, what's not true about that?
Okay, excuse me, that was a total misunderstanding. I'm thinking you were speaking about a situation at the halfway house. When you just read, that's exactly true.
Okay.
I apologize about that. That's exactly true, yes.
No problem, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, well, based on the admission of Mr. Dokes, I'm going to find that he willfully violated the terms and conditions of his community supervision, that he may have lapses about the lapses of criminal ways or company. Okay, sir, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby, sir. Then we're going to go over some information with you. Then we'll have you make any comments and statements you want to make before the board. And then we're going to have your parents speak, Ms. Robinson and Mr. Dokes. You have the opportunity to speak before the board, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Westby.
On November 28, 2017, Mr. Dokes was placed in DOC. He was arrested February 1st, 2018 by DOC staff on other charges. He was brought to DOC custody February 1st, 2018 with projected CSCD February 5th, 2019, 07 days. For conviction, 2013, aggravated assault, 2 counts, each for 7 years. Prior convictions, 2005, theft, 1 year. 2007, theft of means of transportation, 2 counts, each for 3.5 years. 2011, misconduct involving weapons, 4.5 years. This is his third term in DOC, CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. Gang information notes, he's a member of the Gangster Disciples. Prior terms of supervision, 2005, TIS release of standard, 133 days, revoked by the BOEC. 2009, TIS release of standard, 62 days, reinstated by the BOEC, absconded 58 days, revoked by the BOEC. His criminal violations are minimal to drugs noted, other arrests. 2003, criminal trespass first degree, Arizona, juvenile probation. His community risk score is a G89.
You said in 2005 he's absconded for 100 arrests.
2005 he absconded for 133 days.
Okay, sir, so Mr. Dokes, I see that when you were released, you were to reside at the Reborn Assistance, 2546 West Osborne Avenue. You stayed at the residence until your discharge on December 4th, 2017, after becoming argumentative with staff and punching a hole through their facility wall. Says that you were then approved to stay at 4849 South Darrell Drive in Tempe, where you stayed until having an issue with your sponsor, Michelle Roberson, that's your sister. Then you were approved to stay at Traditions located at 2429 West Vista Avenue until you were discharged on January 23rd after becoming aggressive with staff. You were then placed at Vive, 1302 West Becker Lane, until your discharge on January 29th, 2018, after becoming aggressive with another client. What was going on? What is the problem with where you were standing, Mr. Dokes, with the issues that you have? I was bringing that up.
Okay, well, the first place that I stayed at, which was Reborn, my mother was there at the time. She seen the situation when we came from a wedding, I believe. And when I approached the office to sign back in, I was approached by a staff member. I don't know his real name, but on the facility, they call him Chino. He actually became argumentative with me because of a class that he said I missed. My class was on a Sunday, I believe, and that day was a Wednesday, or vice versa, I can't remember. But, he had just became, I could have probably handled the situation a lot better, based on the fact that they allowed me to come stay at their facility. We argued with each other back and forth, and then he told me that I had to leave, so, I grabbed my belongings and I left. As far as punching a hole in the wall, I didn't do that. I did get argumentative with them, absolutely, but I did not punch a hole in the wall. I grabbed my belongings and I took off. Secondly, my sister, I haven't been around my family in a large number of years. My sister, I love my sister, but sometimes she can be a difficult person to get along with. But, we just didn't see eye to eye on certain things, so I felt it would be better for me to go somewhere else, to find other living arrangements. The third halfway house, which was on, I believe, the 19th in Orangewood, is right in the middle of the neighborhood. As a matter of fact, it's about a couple streets up where I caught my last charges. This is a neighborhood that I'm very familiar with. This is a neighborhood also where I know a lot of people and where I used drugs at before. Okay, so at this halfway house, there's a lot of different, type of individuals there. Some I knew, some I didn't. Well, prior to my last prison term, I had confrontations. I had issues with this certain group of individuals where they found out where I was at this halfway house, and I was walking from the store one morning, and these two gentlemen approached me on the halfway house premises with guns. So, at that moment, they approached me. Simultaneously, one of the lady who works in the front office was pulled into the parking lot. I hopped into her car, let her know what was going on, and she got me out of there. So after that, I told them that I didn't feel safe there, that I did not feel comfortable because, we're not allowed to lock our doors there. And after 10 o'clock, all the staff members leave. There's no one to monitor what's going on at that facility, so that made me feel even more unsafe there. So I was kind of stuck in a situation to where I was, do I leave or do I stay here and risk these guys coming up or finding out where I am or tracking me down and possibly killing me. I've been shot at before, I've been stabbed before several times, and those are traumatizing events. I don't desire to lose my life out in, the streets. My life is something that happened, 10, 12 years ago. So I just mean, I didn't feel safe there. So, when I approached the staff members about this, you know, this incident, which they have on camera, they told me that unless it was an emergency, that I couldn't talk to them. Well, I informed them that if it was an emergency, then they told me, well, unless I had a payment for rent, I can't talk to them. So that made me feel like I was being treated unfairly, because, you know, I felt like my life was possibly in danger, and they told me that I couldn't talk to them unless I had a payment for rent. So, you know, again, me and I'm not sure of the gentleman's name. We went back and forth verbally. My father was there. He was there for the whole situation. Those people treated me. You know, I was up to date on my rent. I was there during count time. Every time, you know, I felt that I was doing everything that I was supposed to do. But, you know, I was treated unfairly at that facility. And the same thing pretty much at the next facility. It was reported to the director of that facility that I have, you know, got arrested with somebody there. Well, when the director got there, the guy who they said that I had got arrested with, they, I brought both of those two gentlemen together and asked the man, when was it that I got arrested with you? And the gentleman said that I never got arrested with him. He doesn't have a problem with me, that there was no incident. Yet and still, they keep me out. My dad was also there for that situation. I don't want to sound like an individual who makes a lot of excuses for myself, because I'm not. You know, if I did it, and whether you guys decide to keep me or let me go, you know, I'll admit that. You know, I'm 32 years old. You know, I don't. You know, if I did it, I would admit that. Is there things that I could have did better, or things that I could have avoided doing? Absolutely. You know, I could have went about the situation a whole lot better. I feel like I didn't have adequate coping skills for life. I've been in prison for the better part of, you know, my whole adult life. You know, so this is the longest prison sentence that I've just done. You know, they gave me 7.5 years. So when I got back out there to the world, it was very overwhelming. You know, and I felt like I didn't have anyone that I could talk to about my problems, because my family, I come from a very, very good family. But the life that I was living away from my family is not familiar with, so they may not have understood some of the things that I was going through. So I felt very alone. I felt like I didn't have anyone to talk to. Ultimately, sir, I have a drug problem. I need help with my drug problem. You know, that's pretty much the bottom line. I need help with my drug problem. I need help with my drug problem. I haven't had any counseling or any AA classes before, and you know, that's what I believe that I need.
Okay. So I do understand you saying that you have a drug problem. Because it appears that you came out, and within a month after you were out, you failed to produce a urine specimen. Then you tested for marijuana and amphetamines, and then you failed to produce that. You continued to use drugs. So right after you got out, that you started to use drugs. You had several different facilities, including to be with your sister. In which you state that there was just a misunderstanding between some things that you and your, just a misunderstanding between you and your sister. Didn't say we had a bad relationship or anything, just a misunderstanding, you said. You were incarcerated before 2005, and then you were absconded for 133 days, and then in 2009, you were absconded for 62 days, just before it reinstated you, and then you were absconded for 52 more days, if I understand right, of what was going on. And in this situation, so it appears your PA was working with you and putting you in a program, and
state. They wanted you to go to a class, and you refused to go because you were coming off a binge of methamphetamine. What kind of class did they want you to go to?
I'm not sure exactly what class it was. From what they told me when I first got there, is that I had to spend, I don't know if you're familiar with the Adobe facility, but they have this this place there called Sanctions. And Sanctions is usually from, and you stay there from anywhere from maybe 1 to 14 days. But what they told me is that I had to stay there until there was room in the 90-day program, which I was supposed to go to, that I had to stay in Sanctions before I could go there. So I have the understanding that I did not have to attend any of those classes because I was going to the 90-day program, that I was just there waiting. Yes, it is true that I was coming down off of drugs. I was extremely tired. I was extremely exhausted, which is still no excuse because I understand that wherever I go in life, whether it be in prison, at work, or at somebody's house, or what have you, that there's rules to follow. I want the board to know that, you know, yes, I did make some mistakes when I got out there, but this time I put forth a better effort than I have before in the past, and if you can see that, every time I was released, I was counting. You know, this time when I got out, you know, aside from the drug uses and the incidents that I had with my living situation, I did have a job. And I was reporting to my job and I was paying my bills like I was supposed to. Anywhere that my peer asked me to be, I was there. You know, I just, like I said, you know, I understand that there's rules I have to follow, but what my main problem is drugs. You know, that's where all my problems stem from, you know, the use of drugs, and then everything else comes after that, you know. I need help.
Okay. All right, sir. I'm not sure if the board has any questions. Sir, is there any more questions coming from the board? Ms. Robinson? If you just come up here, please, Ms., and just please state your name and just go ahead and present whatever information you'd like to present to the board, okay?
I agree with my son that he does need help with the drugs. And the Adobe program was going to give him that, so I'm not sure why that didn't go through. I do want to see him get out, but I'm going to respect you guys' decision. I want to see him get out. I want to see him get out with no probation officer, with not any pressure on his back. When he gets out, I want him to be able to be free and do what he needs to do. I mean, it's already going to be hard for him out there in the world because he hasn't been out there in a long time. A lot has changed. I mean, him even having a cell phone is tripping out. You know what I mean? So when he gets out, I just want him to be free to do what he needs to do. Get drug help. You know what I'm saying? Get a program, which I wanted to do for him many a times. Any kind of refuse, but that's okay. He understands now, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah, I talk with our students.
I'm sorry. So he understands that now, but like I said, I respect you guys' decision. I just want my son to know that I love him. We're here for him. We've always been here for him. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Rose.
My name is Todd Bowles. My son is a good kid. He's made some bad decisions. I'm sure you've heard that from many other parents. His mom and I have tried to give him all the support that he needs. Send him in the right direction. I was very blown away finding out that he has a drug problem. Hopefully we can get him the help that he needs to get over that mountain. Whatever the board's decision is today, we respect it, but of course we hope that he's reinstated.
Right. Thank you, sir. The board have any questions? Okay, Mr. Dokes, we're coming back around to you, sir.
board's getting any, coming up on a conclusion that you're hearing, but prior to the board going into discussion. So is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion?
Absolutely. Once again, I just want to, clarify that I accept full responsibility for the mistakes that I've made. You know, like I said, that I went I had a better approach to those situations or some of those problems, absolutely, but ultimately, I just feel I need help. I would like to be reinstated, but not even just reinstated, I would actually like to be put back into the 90-day program at Adobe and, maybe get some rehabilitation there and then go out there to the world. They're in prison, they don't have any programs here, we're pretty much just sitting here, maybe you can work out or, watch TV, but other than that, there's nothing really going on in here except trouble. I actually desire to get help, like I said, I've been doing prison terms since I was 18 years old, and I'm ready for something different. I'm ready to be a normal person. So that I may be able to carry on about with my life and be around my family without having these problems. And like my parents said, whatever you guys' decision is, I respect it also. That's pretty much it.
Okay. All right, Mr. Brooks, thank you. So the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, we're going to make a decision whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. You will be here to discuss that the board's having. I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone, sir. However, to remain silent while the board's in discussion. When the board makes a decision, sir, we will get back to you with the results of what the board's decision is, okay?
Okay.
All right, so the board's now going into to discussion. Mr. Brooks says that he has a drug problem, which is evident from the issues that he's having, his continued use of drugs that he's been having. He also says that he understands he has a drug problem. He's this time wanting to try to turn his life around. However, he was put into the IATH program, and I think that his PO that he had was doing an exceptional job of trying to work with him. By his continued use of drugs, is moving around the facilities. And I think the last thing that he was put into a program, and Mr. Brooks made a decision on his own that he didn't want to participate in the program because he was coming out of a meth binge. And at that point in time, he was in a waiting program. He's being put into the 90-day rehab program, but he just refused to do that. He stayed at several places, because I think that he has not only a drug problem, but he needs to deal with the anger management that he needs to deal with, which keeps getting him into a little bit of trouble. However, he does appear to have great family support, with both his mother and his father being here and concerned about him, even through it all, as well as apparently his sister's also in support, as he did have an opportunity to stay with his sister for a brief period of time. However, I just don't think Mr. Dukes had just completely turned that corner. I think he's just in the early stages of realizing that he has a problem and he needs to do something about it. He will be released on February 5th of 2019, which is about a little less than a year from now. But I really think that if he takes the time while he's in prison and go to AA, NA, get involved in support, because he has to make the decision as to what he wants to do. And there are some programs within the prison that he can take and try to work with his CO3 while he's in there, maybe get in an anger management class, get himself prepared so that when he is released to come back out on the street, he's much better prepared to deal with the issues that will be facing him when he comes out there in the street. So at this point in time, I think it would be better for Mr. Dokes to stay incarcerated, get involved in some programs, and have himself better prepared so that when he leaves, when he's released, he won't be on any community supervision, he won't be on any parole. He has great family support, it appears he has great family support. And he'll be able to come out and be a productive citizen and deal with the family as he prepares himself during this period of time while he's incarcerated. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board, though. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Dokes, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, violated the terms of supervision, and had lapses or about to lapse into criminal ways of the company as he relapsed and started back to using drugs. That's my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, Mr. Dokes, so the board has voted to revoke the community supervision. So I just want to just say, at least this is, you know, you're both your mother and your father are here in support of you, sir, giving you strong support to actually be there. You will be released on February 5th of 2019, a little less than a year from now, sir. There are some programs, NAAA, anger management classes or something that you should take.
I'm in the yard.
Okay. Well, sir, work with your CO3 that you have there and talk to the CO3 about getting some programs. So that when you are released, sir, it sounds as though you really want to get out of it and be positive and connect with your family. So to work with your CO3, take this time that you have left in there, sir, and work and make a decision on your own that you want to get out, you want to be a productive person when you get out. Find some programs, work with your CO3. Not only that, work with your CO3 so that when you are released, sir, that you have some programs or something to go into it with that you can do. So your parents are very supportive of you. When I came on this morning, I saw your mom here early in the morning, rushing, trying to make sure she got here in time to see you, sir. So please, sir, get involved in some programs. Do some things for yourself, sir. You have every opportunity in the world to come out and be a productive citizen. Your parents are faithful and encouraging that you will, sir. You're faithful and encouraging that. So you'll be able to take this time that you have left, sir, and work on that. And hopefully when you get out February 5th of 2019, sir, you'll have a plan, you'll be productive, and you won't have any more major contacts with law enforcement, and you won't have to go back to prison or come back before this board again. So, Mr. Dokes, I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. Sir, that is going to conclude your hearing at this time.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Spidey.